Today on the Wedding Planning Podcast, we're joined by a very special guest, Susan, from Susan's Travel Services. Susan is here to walk us through everything you need to know about designing the destination wedding experience of a lifetime for you, your closest family and friends. She's going to share the top benefits of hosting a destination wedding, insider tips and hot locations, top mistakes that couples make when planning their destination weddings, and so much more. You'll find links to contact Susan and book a totally free consultation on her website, susanstravelservices.com. And of course, I'll put links to everything we mention in the show notes as well. Here we go.
My name is Susan Green, and I'm with Susan's Travel Services. We are a boutique travel agency in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area since 1994. We specialize in, you know, unique vacations from honeymoons to bespoke destinations and multi-generation trips and destination weddings and honeymoons. We have a team of us of about five, and two of them are my assistants, and they happen to both be my daughters, which is really nice. But yeah, we've done this for a really, really long time, which has been great because we've watched some things really, really change, and we've watched some things really stay the same. But you get to build relationships with a lot of people for a long time, which is great. The world becomes a lot smaller this way.
Beautiful. Okay. So I would love for you to walk us through the process of working with Susan. I'm going to mention quickly before we dive into destination weddings, which is our featured topic of the day. But like Susan mentioned, she does also specialize in honeymoons. Maybe it's a one-year anniversary trip. Maybe it's a bachelor or bachelorette party. All of those things are options. We're just going to focus on destination weddings for the day. Take me through the process from your website to filling out your contact form. Walk us through what happens next.
You got it. Yeah, we have a form that we ask people to fill out on our website. And the reason we do that is this. Everyone's idea about what a destination wedding is and how many people are coming, when they want to get married, all those things, we ask some pretty basic but pretty significant questions. And the reason we do that is we want to make sure we're the right fit. So if you're going to email me and say, Susan, we want to do a destination wedding. We live in Phoenix and we want to get married on Catalina Island. Great, beautiful place. I can immediately tell you, hey, guess what? I know nothing about Catalina. I've actually never been there. I don't work with any of those properties and I'm not the right person for you. I'm happy to chat with you about how process is, who maybe we could talk to, but I need to know really quickly what people are talking about. Also, how quickly people are willing and ready to book and when they want to get married. And I'll go through the process of it, but one of the big key things on a destination wedding that people need to understand is about 95% of the destination weddings that we do a group contract on the rooms, which means we go to the hotels and we say, oh my gosh, Susan's going to get married. This is so great. And we need 30 rooms. And they say, not a problem. We'll take them out of inventory. We're going to hold them for you. And they give us a great rate and we work through that with you. But part of the cost of getting that is you have to pay farther out for those rooms. So unlike when you go to a Holiday Inn or a Hyatt hotel in Los Angeles and you pay at the hotel or maybe you pay a week before, most of these hotels are going to require payments 120 days out. So we have to tell people, hey, if you're calling me today and you want to get married in July, we need you to know that your guests that you're asking to come from start to finish of the time we start looking at hotels to the time that your guests have to put payment down, under a month, because their final payment is probably in the middle of March. And so are you willing to do that? And so that's the question we ask is, what are you thinking you want to get married? And maybe they don't realize that. So does that A, change the way that they're going to do their trip? Maybe they're not going to get married in July. Maybe they're going to push it back. Because a lot of people, I don't know your friends. Maybe your friends are really wealthy and they don't care and they've got a lot of money. And a lot of times people are like, hey, we want a payment. We want to make a payment plan and stuff like that. So we start with these basic questions that give us an idea of, we want to make sure A, we can help you, and B, what you guys are looking for. We always ask for a Zoom call. when we do it. So you're going to get 45 minutes of uninterrupted time. You're going to sign up for a Zoom call. It's going to be with me and with my groups manager, which is my oldest daughter, Mackenzie. And we're going to get on there. And what we want to do is we want to meet you. We want you to meet us. We want to make sure that we're a good fit. We want to hear what you're thinking about. Like, do you want to get married on the beach? Are there places you like? Are there places you don't like? Somebody might say, my dad likes everywhere except Punta Cana. Okay, great. We're taking notes. Hey, they don't like Punta Cana. We're going to talk about budget. A lot of times I realize you guys don't know budget, but you get an idea and we'll give you some suggestions. If you're like, hey, our budget's $800 for 4 nights, that's probably unrealistic. So we're going to be like, hey, we'll give you some honest truth, regardless of whether or not we have pricing. We've just done enough of them to know. We've probably done over 350 weddings. So we're very familiar with a lot of these areas. And we do some really unique weddings now. We have one right now that's going on in Crete. We've done many on ships. We also have one that we've done in Tahiti. We've done elopements. We've done a lot of different unique ones. And those are the kind of questions when we sit with you, we ask for your undivided attention in the same way we want you to get our undivided attention. Sometimes we realize people are in their car when they're on Zoom and stuff like that. But really, if you want to sit with us and talk with us, we want your undivided attention in the same way you want ours, because we want to hear what you guys want. It's really, really important. This planning portion of your destination wedding is probably the most important part of it, because I'm going to be making suggestions. I'm going to make sure that I hear it, because what you're really doing is you're hiring us to be your advocate. We're not your wedding planner. We're not the person that picks out your flowers, but we're your advocate. We're that one person that says, hey, do you have her back? Do you have her back? Do you have his back? Do you know what they want? And when something doesn't go right, we're going to go get it for you. So that's kind of, we got to hear what you're saying. And if we don't hear it and you're like, I don't care, or I don't know, or I'm not really interested, it's difficult for us to get a vibe. So we do about a 45-minute phone call, Zoom. And if you guys want, we always say, hey, we're happy to do another one with you if you want. After that, we do a contract with you. And the reason we do a contract is this. We tell people we want to make sure that they know that they're getting our undivided attention, that we are working with them, and that we will have meetings with them, that we will have time with them. We used to take on destination weddings when they called us. Now we only do two a month. They can't be on the same weekend. So if someone calls me and says, hey, I want to get married in April, we'd be like, we don't have space next year in April. So either we're going to give you to someone else or we're going to pick a different date. So we're really, really picky about that, because we want to give you as much time and attention that we can so we can go through all components of your wedding. We will make sure that we will walk you guys through payment plans. What does that look like? We're going to walk you through, we create a website for you. And the website is a booking website. So it has your wedding on it, and it also has how to book your page. And one of the great features that you can't see because it's a podcast, but my daughter, who works for me, who's going to get engaged soon, says this is one of the coolest things. We have a feature that is for them exclusively that shows who's booked. And why that's really great is a bride really wants to look down and go, hey, did Aunt Susan call? Did my mom call? Who's booked and who hasn't booked? And a lot of times the wedding planner or the hotel wants to know those things, and it's live always. And so when anyone reaches out to us, there are different statuses from, deposited to paid in full to maybe we're awaiting their terms and conditions that they haven't signed. And we go over that with you, but it's always live. So they don't have to question us, and we don't have to download something and send it to them. They can always see who has reached out. So we go through that with them, make sure they understand, hey, here are some of the features that we offer for you. Here are some of the hotels and stuff like that. And we do a contract with them, and we do charge a fee. So we tell people we do charge a fee. And the reason we do that is we have 28 years in this business. We have incredible relationships with these hotels. I've been to Mexico over 80 times. I've been to Jamaica 12 times. I've been to the Dominican Republic probably 4 or 5 times. I build a lot of relationships with these, and there's a big difference in these hotels from what you see online than what you see when you go there. And we'll be really honest with you. There are some hotels that are so great on Instagram that we won't work with. because they take 6 to 8 weeks to get back to people. We want to make sure that we tell people, hey, you're hiring us to be your advocate. You're hiring us for our expertise. You're hiring us to take care of everything that you don't want to take care of so that you can go and enjoy the part that you want to enjoy, which is planning your wedding.
That is all such helpful and wonderful information. And now we're going to go a little deeper into the logistics of your wedding contract versus your room contract and exactly how Susan and her team will support you to have a seamless and amazing planning experience.
Every wedding is going to have a two component. You're going to have a wedding contract and you're going to have a room, typically a contract or a room component. They are not the same and they don't go together. While we don't work on the wedding part, we will help you with it. Meaning we will reach out to the wedding component people. We will say, hey, Susan's getting married. Can you confirm this time, this date? Let's go over the wedding package. We know the wedding packages. We'll go over them with you. We'll explain, hey, what are you getting for free? Should you switch to this package? Maybe you should do this. What about getting married offsites? That's a new one that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Get married offsite. Everyone stays at the hotel, but now people want to get married at like a restaurant or something that's not at the hotel because they don't want everyone looking at them. What does that look like? How do we get transfers? How do we do that? But that's one component. And then the other component is either your room contract or some component about how people get to your wedding. That's the part that we do. That's the part from flights to transfers to hotel. We take care of that. But you can't have one without the other. So if you have contacted the hotel, that's fine. We just ask you to email them and say, hey, Susan's part of our team now so that we can talk with them. Because if they don't reach you, or if you reach out to them and say, hey, we want to ask about photography, and they don't get in touch with you, we will. We're the people that go, don't worry about it. We got your back. We'll take care of it. I don't have any trouble harassing people, calling them, emailing them, calling them. That's our job all the time, is to follow up with them and make sure that everything goes right. So there are two components that you have to, and you have to make sure that they gel. So if you get really excited about April 14th, but then we find out there's no rooms, well, then we can't do April 14th at this hotel. So we don't want to get a room contract. So the very beginning process of this becomes almost the most important. And then it becomes fun because then it's, okay, how do we create our website? Okay, how do people book their page and stuff like that? And that part is actually the part that Mackenzie takes care of. I always tell people my role is to be your advocate and to get all your contracts and make sure everything legally is done correct and that you're super happy with who you've picked and what you've picked. You can always contact me. I will always talk with you. Mackenzie's role is to talk to all of your guests and make sure all of the rooms are correct. Let's say you have a block and it's for 3 nights and you're going to come and you go, you know what? We're going to make it a week. So can we stay in the same room at the hotel for 4 more nights? Mackenzie's the one that's going to go request it from the hotel and say, hey, they want to stay. Can you give us the same rate? Hey, we really want a different room that's not in the block, or we want a room with a swim out. You don't have that. That's what Mackenzie does. And so she deals a lot with the day-to-day emails, phone calls, and stuff like that with your clients, where I do more of the big picture, but you don't get the big picture. You don't get the rooms, the details on the rooms, unless you have the big picture. So we work really well. I mean, she works at my house. She's downstairs right now. So we talk constantly. We have a list. We talk about our brides every single week, and we contact our brides once a month to make sure, how's it going? Is there anything that you want us to know about? To get involved in. We want them to feel like they're a part of our team. We get really excited. We love seeing photos. We send wedding gifts. You know, we really want to do that. And so that's kind of the beginning process of it. And then the other process of like how you do stuff along the way, there are some things that, like I said, we can set up, Mackenzie can set up times. A lot of times we find the groom doesn't want to be on the first call, maybe the second call, maybe the mother-in-law wants to be on the call and stuff like that. So we're really flexible on that, but we will not start without that first Zoom call because we just really feel like we want to show you that we're serious. We want to see that you guys are serious too and really make sure that we're on the same page. And make sure the personalities meddle. You know, we always say this, we joke is I'm a very strong personality and I think I'm funny and great and stuff like that. And some people might go, that's awesome. We found someone else. And we're like, perfect. Hey, feel good with who you make sure whoever you pick, you feel great about. If it's not me, that's great. Pick someone that's awesome.
This is all so incredibly helpful, and just this episode alone could save you literally endless hours of research, and we haven't even really gotten into the good stuff yet. If a destination wedding is something that you are considering, I'm going to do a quick recap of your first steps that we've gone over in the first half of today's episode. Simply fill out a quick and easy contact form on Susan's website, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes for when you have a hands-free moment. Next, you'll schedule a 45-minute Zoom call to discuss your ideas and to simply get to know each other. If necessary, you can even book a follow-up call. And to clarify, these informational calls with Susan come with zero obligation whatsoever and absolutely no contract or payment required. If after these calls you do click with Susan and you do want to take the next steps in locking in a location and room contract with her at the lead, then you would enter into a contract to work with her as your agent and advocate for planning the details of your destination wedding.
It's really difficult for us to give ideas and cost. That's part of what we do once we have a contract with you. And there's a couple of reasons. One is we can give estimates, but until we have anything in writing, it's all estimates. You and I both can look online and go, oh, there's one room for one cost, and we can get an estimate. But we have to make sure that's still the right hotel. And if your friend told you it's a great hotel because she went there for a weekend, that's great. That can be very different than going there for a wedding. We have to talk about what your needs are. Are you looking for a place that, you know, has a private? Are you looking for a place that has family or maybe a shared place where there's a family and an adults only, but they have a shared spot in the middle? Do you want to be closer to the airport? Do you care if you're close to the airport? Do you care? Do you want to get married looking over the beach or do you want to be on a beach? And that takes a lot of time to sit down when there's, I don't know, I think they said there's 300 hotels in Cancun Riviera Maya area. That takes a lot to go over and go, okay, well, what are the, and then they've done, who's done renovations? And are there going to be renovations? Are they building next door? Well, guess what? None of the hotels are going to be like, please come to our hotel. And by the way, next door has huge construction going on all day. No one advertises that, but we know. So, because we spend a lot of time reading and doing stuff like that. So, that stuff is part of the job that it takes us afterwards. So, we don't give that at the beginning. It is really important to us to make sure that we're the right fit for you. But we feel that our fee you earn in time and money and saving of all the things that we do for you from finding the right and the best price. 90% of the contracts that we do for the rooms, we do through a wholesaler. Which means the wholesaler is going to have better pricing. They're going to have better promotions. Some of them give up to $1,000 back if you have a certain amount of rooms. Some of them give free transfer. Some of them give a air credit. I mean, we want to save you money and time. That is our goal. Our goal is not to take your time and money, but it takes us a long time to get that done, and we want to make sure that we're the right person for you.
One more, just clarifying, it's not even a question, but I just wanted to reiterate, Susan is not the wedding planner. Susan
Right.
is the destination wedding trip planner. So you would be working with a separate team on site, on property, in terms of your flowers, your photographer, your ceremony. Susan will pass you into wonderful hands, but she's not your actual wedding planner.
That is correct. And if you are interested in bringing people, which many do, of a photographer or makeup, we will give you the details about. Is there a fee? Is the fee waived? Many times, if you bring a friend or a photographer, but they stay for 3 nights, the fee is waived, but now you're paying to fly them in and take them. So it just depends on what is the best way to do this. But yes, we will. We are not the wedding planners, and we are very clear about that. But we've done enough weddings to know the process. Here's the other thing that destination wedding people need to realize. Which can be very difficult, especially in our generation. When you book a wedding on January 1st and you're getting married, let's say June 1st of the following year, you will not really speak to that wedding planning team until about February of the following year. You will have your space confirmed, you will have your time confirmed, and your location. You'll have all that done. We will have a contract, we will sign it. Many require a deposit, but if they don't, we'll have it done. But you won't pick flowers and plates and chairs till 3 to 4 months before. And that is across the board. That's just the way they work. They work on weddings 3 months, 4 months before. And it's difficult at times because we're so inundated with stuff. A, it's exciting, right? It's so fun to look at wedding stuff. Who doesn't want to look at flowers and go, what am I going to do? That's great. They're just not going to answer 45 questions about flowers because you don't know if there was a bad crop. You don't know if they ran out of those flowers. And so that's why they're like, hey, we're going to talk to you. They'll answer general questions and we can get a lot of that for people. But that's why we say, hey, tag us on anything. We'll be on any meeting if you need us. We'll go on the phone with you. We'll go Zoom. But they need to realize that most planning after the contract is done on the wedding is about 3 to 4 months before. And that's really difficult for American brides to grasp because that's just not how we operate in America. We're like, today, done, let's go. And that's how 90% of the world operates. I mean, we have a wedding right now in Greece, and the resort is closed. So they're getting married in October, and they're like, we open in April.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I'm like, oh, okay. So they're like, well, when we come back in April, we'll answer these questions. And I'm sitting here with this bride going, okay. So now I've got somebody else who works with them who's answering questions because we have to make some decisions about whether or not she's bringing someone. That was the big question. I was like, you got to realize what your limitations are. And that's how we come in and help and go, hey, it's not just them. This is the way they operate. And you've got to have kind of an understanding of that.
Which makes it even more important that you have an advocate like yourself working on your side and someone who you can trust when you're panicking and saying the resort is closed for the next 3 months. What on earth is going on? And you can come in and say, don't worry, this is how they operate. This is how things go. This is normal. This is totally fine. I would have no way of knowing that. So.
Well, and we tell people my whole job every single day is travel. That's what I do every day for 29 years. Most of our brides have another job. So the goal is for them to be able to do their job, have joy in being engaged in doing their destination wedding, but not have to deal with the nuances that we deal with from the emails. There's many emails that we deal with that we don't even bring the bride in on, that we're like, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? And then when we get an answer, we bring the bride in and go, okay, hey, we figured out they're going to get married on the dock. This was the Crete one. And how many spots? And it was like 15 emails. And so our job is to be full time in this and to go, it doesn't affect us the way it does because it's not my wedding. It's your wedding. And so we're here to be your advocate and to stand up for you and say, hey, we care. We're here and we care about you, but we're also not emotionally invested. And that takes a lot of that sting out of it a lot of times when somebody can stand up for you and go, I got you. I got you. And I tell people all the time, I go, I got you. I say it almost every day on the phone on all my trips. Don't worry about it. I got you. I will solve this and I will find the answer to it for you. And it might not always be the answer everyone wants, but I will find an answer. Like, hey, okay, they're closed. That's why they were not responding. And I went, I'd love to be closed till April. But, it's not the way we work. So.
Share with us some of your favorite destination wedding destinations for 2024.
I still love the Cancun Riviera Maya area. What I love about that for destination weddings when you're inviting people is it's almost always a nonstop from most of the United States, for most of the big cities. So when you're looking at people coming from Chicago, and you're looking at people coming from LA, and you're looking at people from Florida, they all can fly nonstop. Well, there's nothing better than a nonstop flight. than having to change planes and having to fly overnight. The resorts in Cancun tend to be newer, more modern, the beaches and stuff like that. But there's a big difference in Cancun. So there's Cancun. South of Cancun is Riviera Maya. North of Cancun is Costa Mujeres. Costa Mujeres and Playa Mujeres are newer areas, and the beaches tend to be a little bit bigger. The big question we always get asked is, what about seaweed? Well, seaweed is an organism. It doesn't care that you spend a lot of money on your honeymoon or wedding or anything like that. However, there are certain areas in patterns of the flow, and north of Cancun tends to be an area that people that the seaweed tends to not go to as much. So it's kind of nice. Another area that is really beautiful is Turks and Caicos. Now, Turks and Caicos is one of the prettiest islands in the Caribbean. It's also one of the most expensive. Tends to not be an all-inclusive. For you, it doesn't really matter, but for your guests who have chosen to go on a destination wedding and they've chosen to take their vacation time to go to a place that is not where they chose to go, they're like, okay, I got my hotel and I got my air, but gosh, I wonder how much food is. How much am I going to spend when I'm there? And because they didn't pick this destination, there can be a little bit of chaos. And our goal is to prevent that chaos going to the bride and groom or whomever, right? So the goal is to say, hey, how do we get the couple to not hear that and have them, A, they can come and complain to us. We don't care. That's fine. Complain to us. We'll talk through it. We'll find menus and stuff like that. But we have just noticed that people tend to complain more with non-all-inclusives. Now, the non-all-inclusives hotels tend to be nicer. So those are going to be your Four Seasons, your St. Regis, your Ritz-Carlton. So people who want those, you also get with a non-all-inclusive is you go back to the same formula that you have if you're going to get married locally, which means they charge per plate for food. When you go to an all-inclusive, you don't pay it that way. You pay per body. And the way you have to look at that is, when you're asking for a server to stop working around the pool and come over and serve your dinner for the wedding, that costs them money. Costs the resort money because they now got to put a person at the pool and they got to put a person at your wedding. That's what you're paying for. Now, of course, they're making money, so they're not, you're paying more than what the wage is. But when you go to non-all-inclusive, you're paying for the worker. And then you're also paying for the food. And then what about drinking? Are you going to have an open bar or non-open bar? And you'd be amazed at how quickly that price goes up. Some people don't care, and some people do. So Turks and Caicos is one of those that tends to not have an all-inclusive. There is a couple properties there that are. And another one that is really popular right now is Costa Rica. And Costa Rica is one of my absolute favorite destinations. The only thing I tell people, Costa Rica is clean, beautiful. It is a wonderful destination. The beaches there tend to be look like the Pacific side of the United States. So the Pacific side of the United States, the water is really pretty, but it's also really dark. It's not the Caribbean side. You go look at Mexico, you go to Jamaica, you go to St. Lucia, the water is that light ice blue water. You go to the Pacific side, now it's dark. And people go, wait. I thought it was going to be this ice blue. Well, that's a photo, right? So they can change the color of the photo. So the water tends to be a little bit darker, but the resorts are beautiful. They have both. They have non-all-inclusive, they have inclusive, they have villas. You could do a villa wedding. We've done those. So you've got a bunch of different options on that, but that's a really, really popular place. That's not a not that typically not an a nonstop from most of the United States. You can probably go nonstop from Houston. United is a big one, and Southwest flies there also. So those tend to be the big places that go. Now, the unique places that are fun are Greece, cruising. Hawaii is another one, but Hawaii is very expensive. You have to remember that you're asking guests to come, and if you think your guests don't care, or your guests are okay with it, that's fabulous. But if they're like, hey, my room is $3,500 for 4 nights without airfare and no food, and the concessions are totally different in Hawaii. There's no all-inclusive in Hawaii. We get asked every single day, I'd love to go to Hawaii, my all-inclusive. The only all-inclusive in Hawaii is a cruise that goes around the islands. There's no all-inclusive in the United States. So there, I take that back. There's one Club Med, but it's a terrible hotel. Don't go to it. So you have to kind of know, and that's the questions we ask people when we sit on this as we start talking through, where are your people flying from? Do you think everyone's going to come? I have one of the girls getting married in Greece. Her friends right now are like, wow, that's a long way away. And I was like, it is. They all live in Seattle. So their trip is not just 3 nights for the wedding on an island, by the way, not in Athens. She's getting married in Crete. It's 3 nights plus wherever else they're going to go, because no one goes just for 3 nights for the wedding. So you realize you're asking people to do something to be a part of it. Now, the best part is destination weddings have like a 98% success rate, because when people go, they absolutely love them. They're so happy to be there. It's all done well. They just love being with their friends. There's nothing better than being with your friends and having an incredible experience like that. That's why they're so fun. People have to realize that that's what your friends are up against. And I think sometimes as a couple, when you're planning, you're like, well, who wouldn't want to come? And we hear the, I can't believe I have to pay to go.
Thank you for bringing all of that up, because I think it's easy to get so wrapped up in your vision of what you want your wedding to look like that you forget to consider your 20 or 30 family and friends who are also
Yes.
incredibly excited to be at your wedding and for you to get married. But there's also a lot of logistics, finances, time, just a lot of variables that go into it for on the guest side. And that's a very
There is.
important conversation to have on the outset at the planning, the beginning
Yes.
planning stages of it.
Yeah, it is. And we hear that because we deal with the guests a lot. Some of that's just the way it is. I mean, some people are going to complain because they don't want to go and they're related to you, and that's okay. Hey, don't worry about it. We don't mind hearing that. We hope they never ever tell you that they didn't want to go to your wedding, and we hope they have the time of their life. We don't mind that. But when they are, the things that they bring up are the things that we have to combat, and we try to bring up at the beginning and have people think about when they're starting to look at where they're going to get married, when they're going to get married. And that, like I said, goes back to that first question. If you want to get married right now in 2024, you got to realize that you need about 2 months to get it all in order. And then if those people have to pay in full 3 months in advance, you're looking at the fall to give anyone a shot at trying to pay it. And are your guests willing to pay $3,000 in the next 2 months to go to your wedding per couple? Maybe they are. Maybe you're like, oh no, they all are ready. They're all, and then you think they are until you ask them for money. And brides, everyone will laugh at that, but they will. They'll be like, I'm totally coming until we ask them for money. So what we've done is we have increased the deposit amount for guests. It used to be $200 a couple, and now we made it $400. And the only reason we did that was so that your guests are a little bit more committed to going. And we said, you know what? That's what we learned. We learned that they put more money in, they're going to come. And it shows you who's coming to your wedding quicker than oh, who cares? $200, I'll put it down. I don't know if I'm going, but I'll just put it down. And then that messes with your numbers. Now you have put down $400, they're like, oh, I better make a commitment. And then we'll set up a monthly payment plan with you, with them if they want. But we start noticing patterns with people after doing 350 weddings. You just start noticing it. We want to give that to our brides and grooms and say to them, hey, we're here to help.
That's so smart. I think we've all been in a planning situation, like a trip with girlfriends comes to mind, where everyone is so excited to go until you send out the link and you're like, okay, here's the link to book your room and pay, and here's the flight you need to buy. And all of a sudden, half the
Yeah.
people, whoopsie, can't go, have obligations, blah, blah, blah. So
Yeah,
that's,
money changes it.
oh, totally. So we're going to shift into kind of some of the top mistakes that you see couples make as they start out planning this wedding format. And we've touched on a lot of them, the not having the money conversation with your guests, or not setting the proper expectation for yourselves, or maybe even your guests as well. What are some of the other top mistakes, if you want to just do a roundup for us of the things that you've seen, and how maybe a couple listening could go about things a better way for a better outcome?
So I would say one of the big ones that we see is like a catch-22 is Pinterest and Instagram. They are wonderful. I love them. Who doesn't? But they also give a false sense of what things can look like, what things cost, and what pictures look like. And sometimes what we get is, I want my wedding to look like this. And then I get a barrage of photos, which is great. Thank you for giving me an idea. And a lot of times it's like, you know, I want the white twinkle lights and all white and a barn look. And I mean, it's beautiful. Who doesn't want that? But they have these ideas and then they go, oh, I follow this girl on Instagram and she said she did it for $500. And I go, oh, yeah, did you see her credit card? And they kind of step back and they go, I'm sorry, what? And I said, people lie. She's trying to get followers. And I don't mean that rudely. I certainly wish and hope that that would happen, but people lie. And so the problem is because we're in a social media world and people are trying to put their best foot forward, we've all done it. You try to put this picture out here of like, look what you can get. They come to us with a inflated idea for a deflated price, instead of what is realistic. And our job is to go, hey, we want you to get everything that you can, but let's talk about what that looks like. And let's be realistic. And let's go back to what your core value is. And maybe you have to write that down. What is really important to you is that you're marrying the love of your life. What is really important to you is the people that you really want to be there. So you kind of have to go through some of those. Maybe it is really important to you that everyone, like, wears white, or that you get married on the sand, or stuff like that. But I think that's a big, I think that's something that you just want to be really careful about. And while, like I said, I am not the model of understanding how cool those apps are and stuff like that, you just want to be cautious on what you hear other people say and what people say they did their wedding for, unless you see their bills. I would say that's a big one. I would say timing is a big mistake. And I talked through that briefly, but the timing of how long and how things take. So in America, we are used to immediate results. And so we're used to, hey, I'm interested and I want to buy that. And therefore, you're going to get me a contract by 3 o'clock today. That is not how 90% of the world works. So most of the places that we do destination weddings with, Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Costa Rica, they operate in a completely different model. And so if we put in an interest and we ask for a change, a contract, extension on a room, any of those things, we're talking 7 to 10 business days. And you have to take that big, deep breath and learn. We know that. But we email people that and tell them that, but people don't read their emails. So then they get frustrated and then they send back, they go, I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard about my swim out room that I asked for. And we're like, we're still waiting on them. And there's an impatience. And so we just say, you just got to remember, we check every single day. We keep a spreadsheet of every wedding and every request we have going on, and we check it daily. So it is really important to us to get everything right. And it's really important to us to get every room booked. So we know what is going on, but the timing of things can be very different because we're dealing with countries that just don't operate like we do. You know, they don't work at night, they don't work on the weekends. Groups departments work, you know, they don't, and they have holidays we don't have. They have bank holidays, so that means they don't work. So it has a very different style. And I think the third one is to understand your guests. A lot of brides have done a really good job of sending off like a survey monkey early in advance to say, we're thinking on getting married on February 14th, 2025 in Mexico. Are you in? That's all they send. And then they just have people write back, yeah, no pricing, no nothing, but you get a better idea. You need to have a better feel for how many people that are coming and are not coming. Estimating, people ask us all the time, how many people come with, out of the invites? And I said, it's really all over the board because sometimes we get people and they get everyone, but they've had a better conversation with those people before. Hey, we think it's going to be this amount. We can give you estimates if you want to put it on there, but you really need to have kind of a, are you interested? We're going to have an adults only. Guess what? Adults only means 18 years old and above. That means you have a nephew who is 17. He is not coming to your wedding. Very, very rarely do they allow someone to come from another hotel to your resort. They are only allowed to come for the wedding and the reception. They are walked in by the hotel manager, and it costs you money, by the way. It charges you like $175 a person. And they have to take a cab from the other hotel to your hotel, which costs money. So you start adding all this up, going, is that worth it? Or do you just have it as an adults only? There's always one, right? They're like, well, my friend has a 2-year-old. Maybe she wants a weekend away. But you got to start having those conversations now before we dump out a reservation site. And then she goes, why isn't anyone booking? They all said it's too much money. They can't get away. It's a holiday weekend. It costs too much. Those are the things we hear. So you want to have those better conversations way in advance before you start doing a destination wedding so that you have better success. Because, like I said, the success rate is really, really good with the people that go. But I think more people go when they plan better in advance. And it goes back to how we help is so much of what we do starts at the beginning. And if we do that really well, the rest of it goes really well. And we think we do a really good job at the beginning, but we want to spend that time doing it really well at the beginning so that things fall into place better. And I think our couples do much better that are much more prepared for that than those that have to fly by the seat of their pants.
Wow, so smart, so valuable. Thank you
You're so
so
kind.
much for your time,
Yeah.
all of your expertise. It's incredible. It's
You're
incredible.
so
And
kind.
I'm
Well,
so
thank you.
excited for anyone who hears this and entrusts their special day to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, we love it. We love what we do. We hope it comes off in the way that we talk. We absolutely love doing destinations and we love working with people. We always say we're building a relationship for the rest of their life. That's how we've stayed in business for so many years, is we do love doing this and we love hearing their stories and why they've chosen to get engaged and who they're marrying and their family. And we love that part of our job. It's about relationship. And if we can make it that much better, we love it. So we would love to hear from people and hear what they have to say and questions they might have. So that's why we are available to have a consult.
Again, a huge heartfelt thank you to Susan for being a years-long sponsor of the Wedding Planning Podcast. Today was all about destination weddings, but as a reminder, Susan also does honeymoons, bachelor and bachelorette parties, even multi-generational family vacations, anniversaries, you name it, Susan can plan it, and I cannot recommend her highly enough. You'll find links to book a call with Susan in the show notes if you'd like to connect with her and get your dream vacation plans started. Thank you so much for being here this week, and we'll talk again next week, same time, same place. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wedding Planning Podcast. For episode recaps and special offers, visit our website at wedpodcast.com. There you'll also find a link to submit your wedding questions and future show topic requests. Follow us wherever you listen for new episodes every Wednesday. And if you're loving the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating and review to share your favorite episodes and thoughts with other couples. Wishing you a happy engagement. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it. And we'll talk again next week, same time, same place.